Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you Mythic Gaming. Before we start with our show, I will share something from our Olympian archives. And now for something completely different. What if you took the generic fantasy archetypes of gaming, dwarves, elves, halflings, and gnomes, for instance, and translated them into the mythic realms of ancient Greece? Incongruous as this sounds, Sword and Sorcery Studios pulled it off brilliantly in Olympus, the third volume of their Relics and Rituals series. In addition to the nuts and bolts necessities we've come to expect from D20, source books, new skills, feats, spells, themed items, and so forth, and Olympus generously delivers on these, this tome treats us to a series of mythic plausibilities that grant tremendous creative freedom to a DM planning a Hellenic campaign. You can actually come to see, merely by reading through this volume, how half-orcs and half-elves, far from being clunky transplants, actually fit in quite well, I must add, into the holistic ecology of Greco-Roman fantasy. This volume doesn't provide a game world for your adventure in, but it gives you enough of the elements and mechanics to create such a world for yourself and your players. In addition to humans and the fantasy races mentioned above, there are fauns, which are kin to satyrs, and Spartans, descendants of the Dragon-Tooth Warriors. New prestige classes include Feral Maenad, Sacred Huntress, Master Pancratist, and Promethean Mage. There are 17 Olympian monsters in the tome, and though these are familiar beasties to gamers from other offerings, Sword and Sorcery Studios has given them each a unique twist or two to keep your players on their toes. My favorite portions of the source book, besides those which masterfully Grecianized the Northern European fantasy races, were those which dealt with the mechanics of divine favor and divine wrath. I will certainly be using Olympus in my upcoming Mythic Adventure campaigns and look forward to reviewing more Sword and Sorcery Studio releases. And now, without further ado, our guest is Tim Espy of Level 1 Games. Greetings and welcome, Tim. How are you?
Good evening. I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm going to miss Zach, but Zach is getting married this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. It's a big deal. Everybody's super excited. And, yeah, a bunch of little planning things to do leading up. You know, we got the rehearsal dinner on Friday. So me and my girlfriend, Claudia, and a bunch of other people are going there early to help set up and, you know, help set up the tables and get all the stuff going. And then we'll be doing the rehearsal dinner Friday. And then the big day is Saturday.
right around the corner. The invitation was lovely. It was totally magical, the invitation. Very Tolkien-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Jamie has done such a good job with all the theming, and like you said, the invitations were wonderful. Everything has been good so far. So all the little things that she showed, you know, cause we helped, wow, it's been a couple of months. We stopped by the venue to look around and, you know, see how we wanted to set stuff up. So, Jamie's a very good planner. She's very organized, and, Zach as well too, but, Jamie's been, you know, the one spearheading most of it.
And ironically, King James, who owns the venue, he's been on one of our shows a couple of times.
Yeah, Zach mentioned that. That was so funny. I had no idea, but I guess you should have guessed. But you guys are, you know, we're all in the same sphere. So, I got to meet him, you know, when we went a couple months ago. And he was super fun, super knowledgeable, and just, you know, really, really, really into it. And his passion, you know, as soon as he started talking, I was like, okay, here we go. This is going to be fun with this guy.
Yeah, he was actually not on one of the, like, fantasy or gaming or other themed shows. He was on a political show called The Sussex
Report. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Which is hosted by Astrid, and it talks about all the wonderful things happening in Sussex County.
Oh, interesting. I'm in Sussex County now, so I'll have to. Do you still do that show?
Yeah, we still do that show. It's monthly, although sometimes we do a different theme, but it's mostly monthly, and we're growing it again in a new direction, as we've done with this show as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, like I said, when he was showing us around, there was, you know, a bunch of cool places that he showed us. Have you been to that that Sparta Ren Fair?
No, I've not personally been there, but I'm hoping to. I was hoping to do Saturday, but I wasn't able to make it this Saturday. We have a two-day gig, and I couldn't reschedule it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to go on any of the Ren Fairs this year, but when we were walking around when he was showing us, there were some really cool spots, and some of the stuff that people left over actually are really useful, and that Jamie ended up using some of the stuff. One of the arches that that King James made there, I think she's using one of those. It's a really, really cool place.
So will there be a LARP type of adventure as part of the ceremony or afterwards?
Say again?
Will there be a LARP type of adventure for the guests after the ceremony?
I know that she has some things planned. I don't know if it's bow and arrow. I think it will be some archery stuff set up. There'll be quite a few things going on. And like I said, just walking around that place, there's a nice lake that you can go sit and look at, and a little dock that you can walk out on. I'm not sure, but I think it might only be for the wedding party, maybe, but there's like a little secret hidden dungeon area with like a little bar table and stuff. It was a really cool little spot.
Oh, very cool. I asked him if he'll be filming it, because I really would like to experience it, if only vicariously. So he said that, yes, they're filming everything. So I'm looking forward to experiencing it after the actual date.
Yeah. With Jamie's, video and production background, I think that was definitely part of something that she wanted, you know, documented and everything. So, yeah, they got a videographer and photographer and stuff, I believe. So that should be fun to check out.
So what is new and exciting at Level 1 Games? Last time we spoke, it seems that you were exceeding pre-pandemic capacity, and that a lot of things had made their way back into your daily routine.
Yeah, yep. It's been it's still been super crazy there. So it's good, you know. Like I said, it keeps us busy, and our Magic events have been kicking off really well. Commander is still super popular. Like I was saying, what's one of the formats or one of the ways that you can play Magic? That one we do Thursdays and Saturdays now. So it's two nights now because it's been so popular. We get, you know, up to, you know, 30 people or so. So it's been super busy with Magic. Pokemon we've been doing on Saturdays. We've been trying to get that going a little bit more to help with some pre-release events and everything that we've been doing. So like I said, Magic has been super crazy. I was getting a little not worried, but our trade-ins, you know, we were getting some stuff, but I've been waiting for this, you know, one big, you know, somebody to come in with some really, really nice stuff. And somebody emailed us over, I think it was last week, and, you know, with a big list of a bunch of stuff. And I said, oh, yeah, that's definitely stuff that we would be interested in. And he came down, and we ended up working out a deal. So that was my nice big haul for the store that I've been wanting. So, so I took a bunch of pictures. There's a bunch of pictures online and a bunch of some really cool stuff. Some, you know, I'll use the word rare, you know, kind of rarer video games and, you know, stuff that I've been looking for the store to get the nice new fresh inventory again.
So this wasn't just cards. It was a wide variety of games.
Oh, yeah. Yep. This one was just strictly video games, a whole bunch of consoles, a whole bunch of, from everything, too. It wasn't like, this one person only collected, you know, PlayStation 2 video games. It was everything from Nintendo to Sega Master System to PlayStation 2 to TurboGrafx. It was a whole bunch of stuff. So
TurboGrafx,
just video games and
in a long time. I remember TurboGrafx. It was like the first 3D video game system, and it was line drawings mostly.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So that was part of it with just a couple of video games, a couple Turbo games. So so it was a really nice trade. It's something that I've been hoping for a little bit.
And how about in terms of Dungeons and Dragons?
We still don't have any D&D stuff or campaigns running in store at the moment. But they still release some books. There was something new, I forget what's coming out. It's something that has to do with dragons again, that's coming out somewhat soon. I remember I just put some pre-orders in on Monday for it. But they're still doing a bunch of books, slightly adjacent. I've been working with a couple new dice distributors. So,
okay.
I'm not sure if I talked about them before or not, but Critical Hit Die is who we've been working with. Henry, he's been a super, super good dude. But we got some, they call them inclusion dice. So they're, clear, just acrylic dice, but they have fun little shapes and stuff inside. Like they had, cats and little like kiwis and fruits and stuff, rainbows. And one of my favorite ones is that there was little like brass gears inside. So,
wow.
I think if you're playing like an artificer or something, it just fits really well thematically. So they've been doing some cool stuff.
Have they come out with any new themed products in any of these? Like, has Magic come out with a whole new? It seems that several times a year they come out with a whole new universe to explore through the cards, and each set having different rules that evolves the game. Have they come out with any new worlds lately?
Yeah, that was the one that they came out with. I think it was the previous one. March of the Multiverse or Multitudes, or I forget the exact name of it. It had good alliteration to it, but that's the one where that they've talked about that specific area before, but now this is a book specifically made just to explore that area and different monsters that are there and different spells and stuff that you can use. I remember being very kind of bright and, it wasn't like the cyberpunk ninja stuff that Magic was doing, but, mm-hmm. very, very bright.
The last one you told me about was the Radiant City that takes place on the etheric plane. That's the one?
Yep, the Radiant Citadel or something. Yep.
Yeah, I looked that one up, and it seems that D&D 5th edition is their main world, or the multiverse, as they're calling it, is actually Planescape, from what I was able to see.
Yeah.
They're doing the astral plane, they're doing the etheric plane, they're doing all these metaphysical planes as part of the game now. And the amount of scholarship that goes into them, because I'm a student of very obscure topics. So the amount of obscure topics that I've been finding in games lately has been astounding.
Right. The new book I just found, it is called Dragonlance, Shadow of the Dragon Queen.
Okay.
That's the one that's coming out soon. So it looks like it mentions Tiamat. I'm sure you're familiar with that big dragon.
Uh-huh.
So it seems like more new races to play, new backgrounds, and more dragons, it looks like. So seems pretty cool.
The Dragonlance was one of their most successful campaigns for very many years. They started out with the Greyhawk, and then I think the Dragonlance saga was their next big campaign world, and then they created the Forbidden Realms, or the Forgotten Realms, and that became their mainstay for quite a while. And they had places like Ravenloft and other worlds that they created. And lately they've been bringing them all back, it seems.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so there you go. So it's just, I guess it's another Dragonlance saga. Yeah, it says adventures from levels 1 to 11. So.
How they're doing it different with 5th edition is they seem to be taking the concept that they had earlier of like campaign books and then mixing in actual adventures, so that if you buy a campaign book, you're also buying what used to come out before in modules in previous editions for the campaign world. So now it seems like they have, it'll take you from point A to point B in terms of number of levels, and then you're left on your own, it seems, if you want to continue it or if you want to link it to something else. And they've also done a lot more generic type of stuff that you could fit into anything that you have imagined or that you've adopted from their library.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I believe that the campaign with the etheric plane was where you could stick that anywhere, really. You don't even have to stick it in the etheric plane. You just put it wherever you want.
Right, yeah. Yep, it just gives you the good basis and good characters to build off of, and you can kind of insert it wherever you're playing or whatever you're doing.
So you lucked out in terms of a hall of ancient video games and lots of treasure on that front. Has anything interesting, exciting come out new for any of the video game systems?
Anything new? There's the big thing coming out for me is the new Pokemon game. It comes out in November, second week of November. So that's
okay.
The kind of big thing that everybody's anticipating. We have a whole bunch of pre-orders for that, so I think that'll be very popular. You didn't follow the Pokemon games too closely, I assume, right?
No, I don't. I've learned most of the Pokemon games from you and Zach, from listening to you.
Right, okay.
I've seen the cartoon a couple of times years ago when it first came out, and that was the extent of my involvement and for many years. And then for some of the enrichment companies I do work with, they use Pokemon for educational purposes. So I ran a couple of classes using the Pokemons, but I wouldn't call myself knowledgeable about Pokemon.
Okay. So the most recent one that came out was called Pokemon Sword and Shield. It came out probably 3 years or so ago, maybe around then. So the game and the card game are pretty tied together. Like all the card game expansions that have come out have all been Sword and Shield based expansions. So Pokemon that are in Sword and Shield, because with every generation they introduce new Pokemon or different types, or not different types, but different versions or variants of Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been following the Sword and Shield Pokemon and timeline and everything. So with this one coming out, it's called Pokemon Violet and Scarlet. So it's a whole new region, and a whole new story. So there's all new Pokemon and everything. So with that, the new cards that are coming out will be tied to that game. So we won't be in like the Sword and Shield universe anymore, if you will. It'll be a whole new region and whole new Pokemon and everything. So they're usually pretty. Go ahead. And so they're usually pretty, you know, tight-lipped about spoilers and everything. They just dropped a couple, you know, little gameplay trailers and story trailers and stuff. And only a few Pokemon, the new legendary Pokemon that are like the main part of like the character art of the video game covers. Look really cool. And it seems like this one is, I'm not sure, this is my conjecture of what I've seen in the videos. So when you watch, Scarlet is very like ancient looking, where like the main professor, like she has, you know, like shark teeth around her neck, and she wears like more like a tunic and kind of thing. And then the main professor in the Violet game, you look and everything is very futuristic. Like he has like, you know, like a one piece suit that, you know, look very neon-y and stuff. So I'm curious to see if they're going to do the same game, but in two totally different eras. which would be something they haven't done before. Usually the games are pretty similar, you know, like they follow the same story and stuff. There's just a couple of different Pokemon that you run into and stuff. But if they do two different eras where if you're playing Scarlet, it's, you know, 500 years before Violet or something, would be a new thing that they've done. And that's, you know, Pokemon is always about playing both games. That's how you get all the Pokemon. So it'd be an interesting thing to see, like, oh, this game was 500 years ago, and now this is the, you know, the futuristic one. But that's just my conjecture of what I've seen, that they haven't said that or anything, but I think that would be pretty cool.
Well, I think it sounds exciting, and you would be an expert on Pokemon, so your guess is probably right on the mark. So Pikachu and those Pokemon, are they in all of these new games, or are they many universes ago?
Yeah, so they still use, you know, like the old original 151 Pokemon. You still run across them in the newer games. That's been a contention point where, you know, for most of the games, you know, the newest ones have all of the Pokemon in it. Where this Sword and Shield game, it didn't have every single Pokemon. So that was a big contention point when the game came out. And, you know, it's unfortunately for them to, you know, release updates and, you know, continue the lifespan of the game a little bit more by introducing more Pokemon. But yeah, to answer the question, yes, you can still, there's still like the original Pokemon in the new games that you can still run into and train and evolve and everything like you can with all the new stuff.
Now, Zach's game, is it set in Zach's Pokemon universe, or has he adapted it to one of these larger universes that have come out through releases?
Zach's Pokemon game is his own creation, his whole own universe and everything, based off of the Norse area up there. So yeah, it's his own creation.
And he had mentioned the last time he was on and talking about this that he started running games again, like role-playing games.
Yep. He's been in a couple, and he's been running a couple. So he's been keeping busy with that. I haven't participated in any. The one that I did most recently was the one that that we did at the bachelor party. Unfortunately, with me working at the store, a lot of the times, you know, when stuff starts, like I'm either just leaving or still not home yet, so my schedule doesn't align with most of the stuff, unfortunately.
You guys are gamers and fantasists, so the bachelor party was quite unique from what I heard.
Yeah, yep, it was a good time, and the joke that I keep making was that it was exactly what I wanted. Like, okay. I just wanted to go up and, you know, if we play a couple games and hang out and explore the area if we could, and it was perfect. It was exactly what I wanted. Nice and relaxing, and everybody had a good time, and great food and good company, and yeah, it was perfect. It was exact.
And that is what is best in life.
It was perfect. And like I said, everybody had a good time, and funny enough, I got a tattoo to memorialize it as well in a roundabout way. So I'll send you the picture, but in the house there was a whole bunch of taxidermy. So a bunch of birds and deer and everything. And the room that I was in, there was a full deer, you know, probably 8-point deer, probably big deer. And I named him Frank, and that was my buddy for the weekend. So I got Frank tattooed. I got his skull with his 8 points tattooed for the memory and for Zach, just as a, you know.
And you have a lot of
something fun.
Tattoos. And so, yeah, it is great. Next time I come to the store, you have to show me.
Yeah, yep. So I got my the rest of my arm filled out. I wanted to get some stuff done before the wedding, so my tattoo artist friend got me a slot, and we got some stuff done, so yeah, it came out good.
Any mythology games coming out recently? I picked up two of them that I'm going to weave into the Mythic Adventure that I do with the kids. I picked up Hades, and I picked up Phoenix Rising, Immortals.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm eventually going to get strategy guides and then just weave them in. And this way the kids, when they're not involved in the game, they can go play by themselves and have adventures. And then they're already woven into the campaign. So, you know, I'll count what happened to them in the video game.
Mm. Yeah, those were the two biggest ones. You know, I remember we've talked about Hades before.
Yes.
God of War should be coming out very soon. So that'll probably be the next, you know, big one. And I'm super excited for that, you know, as you know. But I still need to get a PlayStation 5 to be able to play it. But once I come across one, I gotta scoop it up.
That's where he's going to Japan, if I remember correctly.
I'm not too sure. I purposely haven't watched looked too much about it.
Okay.
I want to go in kind of blind into it. But where they left the story off, they could kind of, you know, do what they kind of explore where they need to. But we'll see, hopefully.
Yeah, I followed that. I reviewed the game for Sony when it first came out, the first one,
mm-hmm.
many moons ago. And I remember they sent me, in addition to the game, they sent me some music and they sent me a making of disc and things like that. They're part of what got destroyed in my basement, not the disc, but all the other cool stuff that came with the disc during the flood that we had with the storm. But I didn't quite like the premise of the game because they portrayed the Olympians as kind of evil.
Yeah, yeah.
So that part of it I didn't like, but the series was brilliant. The Greek mythology series, which I followed, it was brilliantly done and very immersive, very involved, very convoluted. They kept retconning it, and it became clunky toward the end. But they did an awesome job, and I'm surprised at how many of them they churned out before they turned their attention to Northern Europe.
Yeah, no, I remember when the first one came out and playing it, and I was like, wow, okay. Like, every so often, you know, in every generation, there's a game that comes out, and you're like, okay, this is something different. Like, this is special, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember playing, I think I rented it from Blockbuster for the first time. And,
I remember
Blockbuster. You know, saying, like, oh, God. Yep. And, like, saying, like, oh, God of War. Like, okay, that sounds cool. Let me check it out. You know, got the blades, you know, fused through your arms. Like, okay, that seems cool. And then I remember me and my buddy Ryan were playing it, and we were like, wow, okay. I think we stayed up. It was, like, a game that we stayed up all night for kind of thing. And then I ended up buying that, and then God of War 2 came out pretty quickly after, so I was pretty lucky. Yeah, and then I got a PS3 for God of War 3. So, yeah, I've been following it for a while. I didn't get to play there was some on the PSP, like the portable PlayStation kind of thing. I didn't get
they
to
made,
play any of those, but...
They made them into, for the one of the PlayStations, I think PlayStation 4, they put the ones who were on the PSP. They were the Chains of Olympus, I think, and I forget the other one. Ghost of Sparta.
Yep.
And they were prequel games, and they put a version out for the PlayStation later on.
Yeah, yeah, and that was slightly after I moved on to the Xbox. I think when that came out, so I didn't get to experience those. I think it was for the PS. It was either PS3 or PS4. Yeah,
it was just like the
HD collection thing.
Or both. Maybe it came out for both systems.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't really played video games with any intensity since the PlayStation 2. And then my PlayStation 2 broke, and that was it. So I think I brought some of the games to you for trade-in. So yeah, they're very immersive, and it's interesting, especially because, again, I remember I was graduating high school when Pong came out. So I remember Pong was like amazing. Nobody'd seen anything like it. And then they had a couple of racing games where you were running over people and they became zombies, and they had tanks. And, you know, what they could do with like little squares and rectangles, like primary colors, was very amazing. And now they're cinematic. Sometimes you can't even tell the difference between a cutscene and a movie if you were just presented with a clip.
I don't know if I've told this little anecdote here where my buddy bought a house, and he had a housewarming party a couple months ago. And, you know, we were hanging out outside, and, you know, I said, hey, like, come show me around. I haven't been here. So we walked inside, and on the TV there was football. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, it's a little early for football. And then sure enough, they were playing, like, the new Madden game. Like the little prompt came up for like the controller, and I was like, oh my God, it's a video game. It's not real life. I looked at it like real quick, and I was like, wow, it's early for football, but nope, it was just somebody playing Madden. So yeah, I understand the sentiment.
And the virtual gaming too, did that ever catch on? Cause that's a technology that's been around for a while, and they kept hinting at it for years, and it never kept coming out, except for like, you know, like some limited ones, but those are very cinematic also, and they're immersive. My son has a virtual gaming set, and he had me try it on one day, and you really felt like you were in another environment altogether, like not where you were standing, but somewhere else entirely. And some of them were photorealistic, and some of them were like gamey, but it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, I feel like it still hasn't caught on as much as, you know, as they were hoping for. It's definitely the biggest that it has been, especially with, you know, I think it was more of a cost thing where, you know, to get something that would be reasonable, you know, $1,000 maybe or so or more, you know, because you needed a good computer and then you needed the actual headset. But now with, like, the Oculus Quest coming out and, like, the PlayStation VR came out, and you could have a VR setup for, you know, under $500, which is still, you know, a good amount of money. That's why it's still not super popular. But, you know, having being able to access it a little bit easier by just plugging into your PlayStation, like, you don't need to know computers or anything. It's just a couple of plugs and you're ready to go with your home console. I think that really helped boost stuff. It's also getting the software support for it. And, you know, the games that you hear of that do really well are, you know, ones that are a little bit more unique. You know, I'm sure you've heard of the Half-Life franchise. It's been around for a while. They came out with one called Half-Life Alyx, where it follows Alyx Vance from Half-Life 2. And that is supposedly is the best VR experience, to date, made by Valve for, you know, for Steam and everything. So I think if more things were accessible like that, I think it would take off a little bit more, but in order to play that, like I said, you're in for not a low amount of money, unfortunately.
With me, predictably, I picked up Theseus, which was a VR game that came out. I haven't played it yet because I don't have a VR set and don't want to borrow it from my son. But they had the Legend of Theseus and the Minotaur. And you're not immersed in the character. You're not seeing through the character's eyes. It's kind of like a Diablo view. But it's all 3D, you know, with the landscape and the environment. So I've been keeping my eyes open, again, for mythical adaptations, and that's the only one that I became aware of. Do you know of any others?
No, I'm not sure. And I'm surprised they haven't released that just as a standalone thing without VR, because it's not like you would necessarily need VR to play, unless there's a special mechanic in there, maybe. But do you know if they released it just on its own?
I bought a physical copy of it. You know, it was in a PlayStation type box, you know, but it said PlayStation VR on it. And so again, right now it's just part of something I've collected, but I haven't played it. I don't know if I'll ever play it again. It might wind up in your hands one day when I come by there. But I thought it'd be really great to experience the Minotaur as like a hovering ghost in the machine, you know, and just watch the story unfold, directing some of the action. I work with my dreams. I work with dreams every night, and it's like having a hologram in Star Trek, you know, and you can become lucid in your dreams. You can also like program your dreams to a certain extent. So I'm used to the different points of view. You could be like inside a body. You could be floating on top and like looking down. You could be in both at the same time or switch back and forth. Sometimes you're yourself. Sometimes you're somebody else, you know. So I guess I have an organic video game set.
The only other game that I've experienced that is kind of adjacent, it was just like sword and sorcery kind of thing, where it was like a first person, like you could choose your weapon, whether it be a sword and a shield or a mace, and it's just going around, and I think they're like invading your castle, so it's just stopping the, it wasn't like hordes of enemies, but it was enough that, you know, like you're fighting and then you have to go help, you know, your comrades, if you will, and everything. But it was really, really, like, the word is visceral. It was very, like, when you're swinging the mace, like, it really feels like you're really swinging and you know, blocking with the shield feels really good. There's, you know, a good feedback on it and stuff. I forget the name of it, but it was just something simple. I think it's just, like, Sword and Sorcery or something for the VR. My buddy Ryan has a copy of that, so we were playing around in there. But the problem that I see with a lot of VR stuff is that it's kind of more like one-dimensional. Like the game I was describing, like that's kind of all you do. You know, like there's no story to it. It's almost more like a tech demo kind of thing, saying like this is what we can do. You know, like we have this technology to do it, and you know maybe leave it to other people to make a story behind it, or use just that engine to build stuff for it. But that's what I run into a lot, where the VR stuff is very one-dimensional. I think is a good word for it.
Which is odd because the experience is three-dimensional, but I know exactly what you're talking about. And I believe the Elder Scrolls, there were VR versions of the Elder Scrolls as well.
Yep. You can play. You can definitely play Oblivion. And you can definitely play Skyrim. Skyrim's available on nearly everything. So that's why that one's a little bit more popular. And to bring up Half-Life Alyx again, that's why so many people like that one, because it was a full story. It was a game, you know, just happened to be in VR, that's all. I think that's why it was so popular.
I remember when the first Elder Scrolls came out, Arena, and it was something like totally mind-boggling new, because you were in the character and you were seeing through the character's eyes. And there were millions of miles, literally, and the game would like create itself as you entered different areas. And you could do whatever you want. You could follow the story if you wanted. You could become a brigand. You could seek out a vampire and get eternal life. You get bitten by a werewolf. You know, whatever you wanted to do, you know, you could do it, and the game would allow you and would allow you to function in that capacity. So it really freed up the imagination. Because games before then were, you know, very, very linear. And there were like paths you took and directions you went. Here you can literally do anything you want.
Yeah, but that's what Bethesda is really good at. You know, that's their MO, building a world and having you, you know, do what you want to do. They're the same people that made Fallout and, you know, of course, all the other Morrowind games. My first experience with them was from Morrowind, actually. I had it for the original Xbox, and I forget what made me buy it, but I ended up picking it up, and again, it was one of those games where I was like, wow, okay, this is something.
Yeah, they were something, and they came out with, like, they didn't just stick with the type of game they came out with Skyrim and Morrowind and Daggerfall and Arena. They also had these games that were slightly different. They had one called Redguard. They had another one that was set in like a floating island. They were kind of self-contained. and you could still create any type of character you wanted, but they were a little bit more linear, and they had a lot less free choice, and they were more stuck with the story. But they're still very beautiful, and they were building a very immersive gaming world. If I remember correctly, I don't remember if it was them or with EverQuest, but there was a whole role playing system that came out, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds like EverQuest. That got super big. I never played that, but I had a friend that did. But yeah, that sounds like an EverQuest kind of thing.
Yeah, I like the NORAT, which was set in EverQuest. They were PlayStation 2.
I didn't know that was an EverQuest thing. Champions of NORAT?
Yes, it was EverQuest. They had a bunch of other ones, too, that were set in earlier parts of the history, and there were novels, there were tie-ins, and there was a line of toys once upon a time, and action figures, and collectibles, and, you know, so they really, the universe spilled out very much into the popular culture.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah, I never knew that. I'm familiar with the games. I never played them, but... You know, they are super popular, especially at the store. But I never knew there was an EverQuest thing.
Yeah, EverQuest, I used to, once upon a time, have some of the figures. I was exploring sword and sorcery at that particular point in my life, and I was into that a great deal. So they had a lot of barbarian type of heroic figures, and a lot of the stories involved barbarians and their adventures. So as I was focused on that, I immersed myself in EverQuest. And also, again, to... the Elder Scrolls, because they had the Nord nation, you know, the old barbarians, which were, I believe, Skyrim takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Skyrim, they're equivalent of Norse mythology.
Right, yep.
Now, we had the conversations in the past on how Wizards is finally mixing Magic the Gathering, which is a card game, with Dungeons & Dragons, which is a role-playing game, and allowing one to spill into the other, allowing people to jump from format to format. Dungeons & Dragons has also had board games and video games and, you know, all sorts of, you know, other platforms in which you can enter. And again, of course, books and toys and things like that. Is anybody doing any grand fantasy world these days?
There's a big, it's actually produced by Amazon. They made a game called New World, where it was kind of like a Diablo-esque, you know, it was a Diablo clone, where it was a whole big, expansive fantasy world. Me and my buddies played it for quite a few hours. It just doesn't hit the same as Diablo, you know, so we didn't put too much time into it, but it was pretty good. So there's still, you know, still companies making, you know, their own big, like I said, like this game is massive, huge MMO. So there's still companies that coming out with these big, expansive fantasy worlds.
And are they standard fantasy, like, again, Northern European, Western European, Tolkien-esque,
yeah.
If you will? Yeah, they are, okay.
Yep. It feels very similar, but it has its own flavor, you know, with the main bad guy is a big demon, you know, that takes the shape of just a mortal person. But yeah, yep. It's still pretty similar, you know, similar feeling.
Now your store covers all types of gaming. Toward the beginning, when I first discovered it, it was more, if I had to describe it, I'd describe it as like a video game store. And now it's a game
mm-hmm.
store. And I've seen the evolution, and I've also noticed this in other gaming stores as well, that gaming has evolved a great deal in the past 10 years or so. And it's become something totally different. And it's also become very popular. I notice when I go shopping in like Target or other places that the quality of games and their price has improved considerably.
Yeah, it's been a big resurgence, which has been real nice to be, you know, part of like the, you know, the main pop culture and everything. But yeah, when we first started off, it was a video game store with the plans of, you know, getting some cards and stuff in eventually, and you know, then that started taking off, and I'm you know, I appreciate that you saw the evolution, because you know that's what we were going for. We like to keep the store changing all the time, so it's not, you know, the same time, the same thing every single time you come in. You know, we hope to find, you know, new stuff to bring in, and you know, like we've been doing, there's a thing called, it's called Ichiban Kuji. It's a Japanese lottery kind of thing where, you know, you get, we have it on the wall behind the counter. There's a bunch of different prizes, and it's just a lottery ticket kind of game where you pick a ticket and you rip open the ticket and it has a letter on the inside, and that corresponds to, you know, what prize you may get. So it could be, you know, a little acrylic keychain or a little plushie, or some of the bigger things are bigger figures. And like we did one where it was Kirby, the video game character Kirby.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So like, you know, like big plushies of Kirby as like a hamburger. And the one that I won is like a little coffee pot that's shaped like Kirby. So, but yeah, it's just to say that, you know, we're trying to get, you know, a bunch of new, cool, fun things in. You know, whether it be posters like for the holidays, we usually bring in, you know, more kind of like collectible memorabilia stuff, you know, kind of more, you know, like mugs and pictures and posters and stuff for the holidays that make good gifts and stuff. So that kind of stuff is going to start ramping up in the next couple weeks or so, now that we're getting closer to the, you know, more holiday times. But yeah, so, you know, like I said, I appreciate, you know, that you noticed, and because that's the goal of ours, like I said, to always evolve and have people coming in and saying, oh, wow, that's new, that wasn't here last time, and yeah, it's fun.
And I've said this before, but not in a while, so I'll say it again, and you're a visionary, this entire store and its evolution, and also how it's affected other stores, because now they're doing it. So you have clones of level one games. I don't know if they're acknowledged or unacknowledged, but that's your dream, and you're one of those rare individuals that makes his dreams come true. So that is an awesome thing.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and you know, we appreciate everybody. You know, me and Em and Cynthia and Scott and, you know, all the hard work that goes into it. You know, I mean, I'm sure people understand there's a million things that go on behind the scenes, you know, that keep the store running. So you know, we really appreciate that.
Now that you're familiar with King James and involved in all the things he's doing, are you guys going to get into LARPing at all?
I've always wanted to. So I just need that little push and a couple people to go with me, and then I'm totally into it. There's another Discord server that I'm in with some friends that I met through the store, actually, and there's a few people that are very heavily into LARPing, and the one that they do is like a kind of post-apocalyptic one. So, like, you know, that's kind of my flavor.
Yep.
So I've talked to him quite extensively about it, but he's in a different state. He's up in New York, so it would be a little bit of a travel, but it would be fun. You know, it's one of the things where they do it for the weekend and, you know, role play for the whole weekend, and, you know, like I said, it's a post-apocalyptic setting, so hopefully soon, something that I definitely want to explore. Always wanted to. 20 years and I never have, so I just got to do it.
Have I ever shared with you the clip from my TV show where I covered LARPing?
You have not. You've mentioned it, but I've never seen the video.
Somebody put it on YouTube, so I'll look for it later and I'll send it to you in personal messenger.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that would be great.
Black Wolf the Dragon Master, I don't know if you know him. He was on, I believe, Conan O'Brien's show. He was on one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the Triumph, the Insult comic dog.
Yep.
Album. Black Wolf used to be a regular on my show, so he's in the clip too. I'll find it, I'll link it, and I'll send it to you later today.
Yes, that's awesome.
So what are your visions for the future? Where do you see the hobby evolving now that we have VR, that we have live action role-playing game or LARPing, the different formats of gaming are blending into each other and feeding each other and complementing each other. And we have concepts in our entertainment like the multiverse, so you could basically go anywhere and do anything. Where do you see all that leading, like in the next decade?
Yeah, it's interesting. But it seems like the more that they introduce, like they tried doing a D&D thing where it was online. I forget what they call it, D&D Forever or something. It's something new. But it seems like people still, it's all about meeting up in person and getting everybody's reactions and hanging out, in person. And now that, it's a little bit safer to do so, it seems to be that's what everybody is clamoring for. So hopefully it continues that way and, the community continues to grow and it gets more and more popular and we get more cool crossovers and, more stuff is always fun. It's always something for somebody.
Oh, most certainly so. And I could see that if LARPing catches on in the level one, I could see you carrying costumes to help people LARP better and having LARPing workshops and because you educate your customers, which is another fantastic thing.
Yeah, that's part of the thing for us is, having the interaction with the customers and helping them out, make the right decisions and getting the stuff that they want. But it's funny that you mentioned the LARPing thing. There's a Facebook group that's for game store owners, a private group to, just discuss things and stuff. There's a store in, I think it's Pennsylvania, maybe. I'll have to see if I can find the information for you. Well, I'll find the information for you because I know the guy's name. But where it was, a gaming store, and he started doing, a LARPing thing as an after-school activity, and it ended up just absolutely exploding. And now that's, his thing, where his store is, a LARPing store almost, where, they have foam swords and all the accessories and everything to go with it. And, he does his LARPing events for, for kids after school and also he does adult ones as well. And, so it's funny that you say that because I've been following his story in the group and watching that just absolutely explode.
Oh, awesome. That is fantastic. So I have something to look forward to in the next half decade or so.
Been talking about, expanding it and, kind of doing almost like a travel thing where he'll come and do events at different places around the area. So.
Awesome. Now, I'm going to ask you two questions, which again, I've asked you before, but it's important for people to hear them. You are someone who, again, you had a dream, you made your dream come to pass. Your dream continues to evolve and grow as you evolve and grow. And you make that come to pass as well. And I know you faced many challenges along the way, but you've succeeded massively in doing that. For people who have a dream, but they're afraid to take the steps to actualize it, what would you suggest?
I know it's kind of like cliche, but it's just you have to take the chance and do it and put your all into it. There was a time when, a few years after the store opened where, it's those lean years where you just opened and you're still trying to get new customers and build a community and everything. But, it was hard, but I was just talking to somebody else about this too, which is weird. But, for us, we had to make it happen. There almost was no other choice. So it's just putting in all the hard work and doing the right thing and getting your name out there and everything. It's just, just putting yourself out there. It was tough, but like I said, me and Cynthia were out, doing street fairs and conventions and everything, just getting the name out there. But yeah, it's just... just taking that one step and just doing it.
And so that's the secret. Just basically stick to it, and you're going to go through a difficult time in the beginning and subsequently, but just don't give up. Keep doing whatever you can do, whatever you can think of to make it happen.
Yep, just doing your best. Like, at the end of the day, like, what we were doing, we knew that we were doing all that we could do and doing our best, and you know, if everything works out, and like you said, you do your best, it'll happen.
And how can people enter the magical, mythical world of Level 1 Games and get involved in this community?
You can find us. We're right on Route 23, so right in Pompton Plains. We just got the parking lot got paved, so it's a nice new parking lot. you can find us online, on Instagram and Facebook. Whenever we get that new cool big trade-in, we throw it up there, and our schedule is up there, and their messages are always open. So if there's questions, you can send us a message and give us a call.
And last question. For someone who has heard this podcast that didn't know very much about gaming and now might be interested in exploring gaming. Gaming is a very wide thing, and everyone has different tastes, and everyone is satisfied by different types of games. But what would you recommend to someone who just is coming to the hobby and wants to try something to see what it's like?
The best way is also just kind of jumping in. And for Magic, they make it nice and easy where there's starter decks and everything to get started. Same thing with Pokemon. So, you know, just grabbing one of those and just sitting down and playing. There's so many new people that come to the store, and, you know, we help guide them through and help them choose what they need. But yeah, it's just jumping in and doing it. I don't know. just jumping in.
Thank you so very much. I enjoyed our conversation, Tim, a great deal. Again, I wish I was coming on Saturday, but such is life. My love for everybody, and may it be a wonderful day for everyone.
Thank you so much. Yeah, like I said, everybody's super excited. Looks like the weather is going to be just absolutely perfect. So, yeah, it's going to be it'll be a good time, and there'll be plenty of pictures and video and everything. So we'll make sure that you'll see a bunch of stuff.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate that. And thank you to everybody who tuned in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, Tim.
Thank you so much.